Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Doug Kinney, and welcome to the Pet Insurance Guy podcast, dedicated to helping you understand how pet insurance works and the strategic role it can play when it comes to paying for your pet's health care expenses. Hello, everyone. I'm super excited to have as my guest today, Mike Hemstreet, who is the owner of the website PetInsuranceReview.com. It is the most recommended go-to website for reviews of pet insurance companies, and I've got a link to each company's review page built right into the worksheets that are included in the Pet Insurance Toolkit. I don't know about you, but I don't buy anything of significance without reading a bunch of reviews, and that certainly applies to pet insurance. Why wouldn't you want to read about the experiences of people who've actually bought a product you're interested in and dealt with the company that sells the product? When reading reviews, I'm interested in a couple of things. First, I want to know that I'm buying a quality product, but also one that specifically fits my needs and is what I'm looking for. And secondly, I'm looking for a company that offers great customer service if I have questions or problems with their product. I've been after Mike to be a guest on the podcast for a while now, but he was making some improvements to his site that he wanted to be able to talk about. So, Mike, thanks for being a guest on the podcast, and welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Doug. It's nice to be here.
I guess improving and updating your site is really a never-ending task, isn't it?
That's true. There's always some additional items and features on my list.
Well, I'm really impressed with these latest changes to your site, and we'll talk about them in depth in just a moment. But how do you get the ideas for the changes that you make to the site?
Usually two ways. I get a nice stream of feedback from the users who are doing research on pet insurance, new features and whatnot that they'd like to see. And also I tend to use other review sites. Yelp and Amazon and sites like this, and try to see what features they have that I think I could apply to Pet Insurance Review.
I know I'm interested, and I bet the listeners are also interested in your background and why you decided to get involved in the pet insurance industry.
Basically, I'm a computer geek. I am a web developer. I've got a small web development company with a couple partners, and we build web applications for small businesses. But the way I got started in pet insurance is about 6 years ago, my family got a golden retriever puppy, and I was talking with a friend. And she mentioned that her daughter had a golden retriever and that she had spent thousands of dollars on vet bills, so we should really look into pet insurance. And at the time, I had never even heard of pet insurance. So I thought, okay, that sounds interesting. So I went online to do some research, and I found all the individual pet insurance websites. The VPI website and Embrace website and whatnot, but I didn't find any kind of neutral website that allowed you to kind of compare and contrast the different companies and policies. So I thought, boy, somebody should do this, and seeing that I'm the web application guy, it might as well be me.
I tell you, that story just hit me just now that I can imagine trying to research pet insurance without your website.
Yeah, it was tough. I couldn't eat it. It was tricky. You had to go to every site to kind of get an idea of how they were different.
Yeah. I think the listeners also need to know that you aren't someone who deals with the pet insurance industry from afar, but you've actually built a relationship with many of these companies, even visiting some of the companies. Is that not right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, when I first started, I kind of called and emailed the various companies to try to get information, and I don't think anybody returned my calls or emails, which was no surprise. But over the years, yeah, I've kind of developed relationships with most of the companies, and I visited several of the insurance companies. And just recently, I went to the NAFIA, the first ever North American pet insurance industry conference in Montreal a couple months ago, and got to meet a lot of the companies in person, or, you know, representatives from the companies in person, and it was great.
Tell me a little bit about that meeting. How was it? What was your impression?
It was really interesting. It was there were probably about 30 attendees there, people from most of the pet insurance companies in the U.S. and Canada, and there were various underwriters and this kind of thing. And there was an insurance benchmarking firm that was hired to kind of, you know, do all these benchmarking tests on the industry. And they did presentation. It was really interesting. There was a veterinarian that gave his take on pet insurance, you know, from the vet's perspective.
I think he went to the Trupanion sales meeting last year in Seattle and probably met Merrick Wolf, who was a guest on episode 7 of the podcast. Tell us a little bit about your experience at that meeting.
It was a meeting at Trupanion for their territory managers. So the way Trupanion works is they divide the country into regions, and they have what they call the territory managers that pay visits to vet's office and to promote the Trupanion insurance. And so they had them all at the home office in Seattle. And in the last day, they had us up on a stage. They had myself, they had Merritt, and I think they had a couple of vets up there. And it was just kind of a forum for the employees to ask us questions, just kind of informational. They could ask us whatever they wanted. It was nice. It was a chance for me to meet, Daryl and the Trupanion team in person. I've talked to them for years, but never got a chance to meet them before.
I think that's neat that they were willing to invite people to be on a forum, because I'm sure they were after information that would help them become a better company and do a better job.
Yeah, absolutely. They told us, you know, don't pull any punches. Just, you know, tell it how you see it. And, you know, they're always trying to improve. If we have suggestions, feel free to share our ideas. And in fact, Merritt, I believe, they asked him to come because he wrote a lengthy blog post about how he went with, I think he went with Petplan. He went with a competitor to Trupanion, and they wanted to ask him why.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so let's get into some of the details about your website. How long has the site been active?
So this site, I started it right after we got our puppy, so it was about 5 or 6 years ago now. And the timing worked out really well, because when I started it, there were only a handful of pet insurance companies. And right when I was kind of doing my research and start to get it rolling, the kind of this new wave of companies were coming on board. The Embrace, Pet Plan, Pets First. You know, before that it had been like BPI and a couple, you know, old school companies. But it was kind of like a bunch of the new companies were kind of hitting the market right about the time I started.
Okay. Tell us kind of how it has evolved with all these new companies coming in. So now there's about a dozen in the United States. And, of course, you've also added the Canadian companies and started with also some companies in the UK. So kind of how did this evolve into what it is now?
Well, when I started, I was just kind of posting the information on the U.S. companies as I did my research. And then in pretty quick order, I added the Canadian companies because there seemed to be a lot of information about pet insurance in Canada at the time. And it seemed like a natural extension. I guess pet insurance seemed to be a little more established in Canada than the U.S., you know, 5, 6 years ago. And then over time, I kind of looked into, you know, well, pet insurance is really popular in the UK. They've got something like, here in the U.S., we've got less than 1% of the pets covered. In the UK, they've got about 25% of the pets covered. So that seemed to be an area that I wanted to explore. So I started adding information about those companies, and I haven't really gotten the UK piece to where I want it to be, but it's a lot more advanced. I mean, there's probably 25, 30 different pet insurance companies selling under about 75 different brands in the UK. So it's a lot more mature than the US market.
How many reviews are available on your site?
I think there's about 10,000 reviews on the site.
Wow. How many reviews would you estimate are added monthly to the site?
I would say a few hundred a month, so it's constantly growing.
Okay, that includes both, all the U.S., Canada, and U.K., is that right?
That's U.S. and Canada. U.K. is kind of separate. I don't have much in the way of reviews for the U.K. at this point.
Okay. I know pet insurance companies, websites, and blogs like mine refer pet owners to your site to read reviews. How do pet owners who want to write a review find your site?
Yeah, good question. This is just a hunch, but I think typically what people do is, and this is probably applies to most review sites, is somebody has an experience with a company and they go online, they Google, you know, that company review or complaint or feedback, something like that. And when they do that, I rank really highly in Google for those kind of terms. So people find me that way. You know, people who have the initiative to go online to write something about an insurance company, more often than not, they're upset about something, it seems like.
You know, it's kind of like us veterinarians, you know, we like to hear from clients when there's good news sometimes,
right.
You know. Okay, how much time do you spend updating and maintaining the site?
Well, in a normal week, just a couple hours. But if I'm making some modifications to the site, like some of the recent changes I do, I'll go through a phase where, you know, I'm working 20 to 30 hours a week to make the coding and database changes.
Well, that's got to be neat that you have the know-how to do that. Because, you know, when I went back and looked at the recent changes, I thought, gee, it'd be neat to be able to do that or know how to do that. But that's a huge advantage. And you've made changes over the years from time to time that have greatly improved how pet owners experience your site. And I just have to say, you know, I think it's one of the best review sites of any kind that's on the internet.
Well, thanks. That's nice. And if you ever have any suggestions, don't hesitate to drop me a line.
Well, I think I have emailed you a few, and then you emailed me back and said, I'm already working on that.
That's true. Yeah.
How do you know that a review is legit?
Yeah, that's tricky. I do a couple things. When somebody submits a review, I capture their IP address, and I've got some filters on there to see, you know, where that IP, where that browser is coming from. That kind of helps. And then I've got a couple scripts that I run through the review to look for phrases that kind of raise a flag. So those are the main ways to do it, and I'll be the first to admit that it's always a struggle, because if there's a foolproof way out there, I just don't know what it is.
Yeah, I can't imagine there being a foolproof way, you know, to be honest with you. But it looks like you do an excellent job on there, though. Do you approve all the reviews and or comments before they go up on your site? I think you just answered the one about the reviews, but what about the comments that follow the reviews?
Yeah, so the way it works is all the reviews and comments, as soon as someone posts them, they aren't automatically published. They go into a queue, and mm-hmm. What I do is every couple weeks or so, I kind of scan through everything in the queue and then release it. And the primary purpose for that is that I get a lot of hackers that what they do is they submit fake postings. Now, they're not posting good or bad comments necessarily, but what they do is they put links to other websites in their comments, so to improve the Google rank, the search engine rankings for their sites.
Yeah.
So it's a form of like spam linking, I guess you'd call it. So I have to, it's a constant battle to keep those out of the reviews and the comments on the site.
Pet owners rate a company on a scale of 1 to 10. How often is that number updated?
So that number is a dynamic average. So whenever a review is posted, that affects that number.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So it's constantly in flux, that the rating.
Good. I always tell pet owners to not only read the reviews, but also read the comments after the reviews, because some valuable insight often comes from those comments.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of times in the comments now, I've added a feature where the insurer can post a response, a comment to a review, kind of giving their side of the story. And what I've done lately is I've kind of flagged those so people can kind of zero in on reviews that have insurer replies. And it gives both sides of the story, you know, if there's a problem or, you know, some kind of dispute. I think that provides useful information to the consumer research and pet insurance.
Well, I think that's excellent because, as you said, there's two sides to every story. And in reading some of the reviews on your site, and a couple of days ago, I actually went to each company's Better Business Bureau site, and that basically their complaints are essentially reviews of the company. I think your site actually has much more valuable information than the Better Business Bureau site, because all the companies had an A-plus or an A-minus rating, regardless of the number of complaints, and all it meant was that the insurance company did a reasonable job of responding to the complaints, is what it amounted to. And on your site, you actually have low ratings and high ratings, and you get a more balanced view, I think, and it means more, I think, to the pet owner than even the Better Business Bureau site. And of course, there's very limited complaints on the Better Business Bureau site, where you have, like you said, thousands of reviews on your site.
Yeah, I agree. I recently added links to each insurer has a page on my site, and in addition to the reviews, I have some background info on each of the insurers, and I linked their Better Business score or review. And what I noticed about it, too, is they don't really get into the details of the complaints. It's just they have, like, a topic, like it might be a billing complaint or a marketing complaint, but you don't really hear the nitty-gritty, and I think that provides, you know, more value to the consumer.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And I had a question on here about allowing the insurance company to respond to reviews, and you answered that. I think that is a good thing to do. And also, one thing I saw in the comments was you and I know that insurance companies not too infrequently change things about their policies. And I've seen a review posted on your site that, you know, had a complaint about this particular policy, and a comment dated like 2 months later after the insurance company made changes to the policy added that no longer is true about their policy. So I think that provides valuable insight also when insurance companies change things.
Right. I've got the overall review average, then I have, you know, the average over the past year, and then the past 60 days. And when I first had the site, I just had their average score. But over time, what happens is, you know, companies change. You know, they change the way they do business, they change the policies. So people's experiences would change over time. So I thought, so you could see if a company was improving or you know, perhaps, you know, the customer service was going downhill, and that was reflected in the review scores. So I thought it was a more accurate way to show how a company was doing.
Absolutely. I agree with that. In fact, I was looking last night at several of the company's ratings, and for some of the companies, particularly the older companies like VPI, you know, their lifetime score is lower than their 60-day or one-year rating, and I think that goes to the changes that they've made in their policies just a couple of years ago, and it's improved their policies and more than likely improved the reviews.
Yeah, exactly, because they've, as you know, they've had a change in management over the last few years, and they got a new crew in there a few years ago that kind of shake up the way they did business, and And I certainly could see that reflected in the scores that were the review scores that were coming in through my site. People were happier with it.
Well, just about all the companies that have made changes to their policies, fortunately, have been for the better, in my opinion. And most of the companies that have changed have been the older companies, and I think they would be the first to admit that the reason they changed was because of the competition from the newer companies offering things that their policies that they started out with weren't offering pet owners.
Right, right. The new companies kind of came in and had a whole new way of doing business. And the older companies, I think, had to kind of change the status quo to keep up with these new ideas.
You know, you recently added a way for pet owners to filter the reviews based on rating and whether the review has comments or not. And you mentioned that a while ago. Tell us about those changes.
Well, so what people can do now is they can go to a company's review page and they can opt to just view negative reviews or kind of middle-of-the-road reviews or the top-scoring reviews. And they can also opt to view reviews that have comments on them and from anybody, or they can review only reviews that have comments from the insurer to the review. The reason I did that was I get a lot of, you know, really happy, satisfied customers, and that's a good thing. But I don't know, when I do a review, I want to read the negative stuff too. And my concern was the negative and the neutral reviews were kind of getting buried in the glowing 10 out of 10 reviews. So I wanted to make it easier for the consumer to just look at the critical reviews. So I added that feature, and I think it makes it more useful.
I agree. In fact, that's one of the things that I emailed you about several months ago and asked and mentioned to you. As Mike, you know on Amazon how they have the 5 stars and the 4 stars and everything? And you said, I'm already working on that. So, because right. that was my complaint, because, you know, in coming to your site, it's exactly what you just said. You know, I like to read, well, is anybody unhappy with the company?
Right,
you know,
right.
And I like to be able to, without having to read, you know, 25 or 30 reviews, be able to go straight to those if I could. And so I think that's a great change that you've made. I also wanted to ask you about a change you've made that allows pet owners to find reviews based on the breed of the dog or cat. I think right now you may just have dogs listed on there. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And it's right now it's only on the 10 most common dog breeds.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that would be useful. That, like I said, I've got a golden retriever. And I thought, well, that might be helpful just to, you know, because goldens are susceptible to certain types of problems, hip dysplasia and cancer and these kind of things. So I thought it would be useful for a pet owner to go in there and just focus on the reviews for their pet to see how those kind of claims were handled. So I created a filter where you can search just on the dog breed. Like I said, it's only the top 10 breeds. Now I'm going to expand that and into cats. And I'm also, and I think this is also something you mentioned in your email from a while back, is I do track, when someone fills out a review, I've been tracking the type of claim, like the type of illness or accident, being hip dysplasia or cancer, you know, whatever. And in the future, what I'm going to be adding is a way to track that type of claims and reviews involving that type of illness or injury, regardless of the breed. I think that will be useful, too.
Yeah, I think that doing that by breed is useful because from a veterinarian's perspective, when we talk with pet owners about pet insurance and they've got a certain breed, particularly when not all pet insurance companies cover hereditary diseases, it would be useful for them to be able to look at those breeds and some of the claims that have been filed and those that have been rejected or denied and those that have been paid. So I think that is a good idea. Well, Mike, I really do appreciate, again, you being a guest on the podcast, and I cannot say enough what a great service you provide for pet owners in particular and veterinarians too, as you just mentioned, to actually go to your site and read all the reviews that are on your site, and it's just a terrific service, and I encourage every pet owner that's considering getting pet insurance to visit your site. In fact, I've got links in my materials and on my blog to your site, and I really do appreciate all that you've done and the time and effort you've spent updating the site and keeping it current so that pet owners can get some good information.
Well, thanks, Doug. I appreciate the kind words. It's just trying to help out the pet owners take care of their pets and do the best they can by them. For me, it's worth it.
Well, great. And I'm sure there'll be future updates and future improvements and new things that you'll add. And maybe we can get back together and talk about those whenever.
That sounds great.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, Doug. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
At the end of the audio session, using Skype's screen share capability, I recorded a video of Mike actually explaining how to use his website to review a pet insurance company. You can find the link to the video in the show notes of the podcast, episode 13, at petinsuranceguidepodcast.com. There's also a link to the pet insurance toolkit that I've designed to help you understand how pet insurance works and providing you with a step-by-step method for finding the best pet insurance company and policy for your pet. The worksheet at the end of the ebook contains links to each pet insurance company in the United States where you can get a quote for your pet and compare the most important features of each company's policy side by side. Because I believe reading pet insurance company reviews is essential prior to purchasing pet insurance, links to each company's review page on Mike's website is built right into the worksheet. You can download this toolkit right now at petinsurancetoolkit.com. In the next episode, I'll be talking with Steve Sidek, the COO of Healthy Paws Pet Insurance Company, and you don't want to miss that interview. So there's a link in the show notes to subscribe to the podcast, and if you can take just a moment to leave a review of the podcast on iTunes, it is greatly appreciated. Again, thanks everyone for listening. I just want you to know that your comments about each podcast episode or blog post are welcome and appreciated. By leaving a comment, you'll be helping other folks who are interested in pet insurance for their pet. Well, that's it for this episode, and until next time, remember, health insurance isn't just for people anymore.